This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the
Welcome everybody, welcome to What the Puck. It's officially the offseason for everyone in the NHL. We've been kind of used to it since the first round of the playoffs this past year. But we're still talking hockey, and this is actually going to be, the next couple weeks are going to be really fun for What the Puck, because there's a lot of stuff going on with the NHL and maybe the Washington Capitals. So let's start it off like we always do. Got to welcome in Coach Dan, who's on via Skype. What's going on, man?
Not too much, unfortunately, in Caps world right now. Just starting to start pick up for the draft coming up on Sunday. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for everyone for tuning in, listening to Dan and I. Hope you enjoyed the show last week. Of course, you can download the show completely free of charge on iTunes or on Stitcher. Enjoy your freedom of speech from the Brando Cash Network. But let's talk about something that's not really free anymore, the buyouts. Buyouts are going to be a big thing. We were talking right before the show, and you said teams will be allowed to use their buyouts starting at 11 o'clock tonight on Wednesday, the 26th. That's when we're recording this. And there's already been a few teams that have announced who they plan to buy out. The Capitals have remained pretty quiet. Now, we've talked about players that we think the Caps could buy out, could not buy out. But the interesting thing with the NHL is they have two, each team has two buyouts. They can either use both, use one, use none, or they can use one this summer and one next summer. So just for the Capitals, what do you think's going through George McPhee's mind right now? Do you see them using one or both of the buyouts?
Well, McPhee came out and said he's not a very big fan of the buyouts, which I can understand why he would say that. He thinks it's sort of a way for teams to sort of fix the mistakes they made in the past, and it's a way to cheat to some extent. And while that's true, I certainly don't mind if he does a little cheating right now, because I think they have a couple of contracts that they'd like to get out from underneath, and one of those is obviously Jeff Schultz. He's only got 1 year left on his deal, but at $2.75 million when the cap is going down by, what is it, a little under $6 million, you got to find a way to cheat a little bit to stay under the cap ceiling while having a competitive team. I definitely think that if they cannot find a way to trade Jeff Schultz, that who he actually went and asked for a trade back in, what was it, March, that I do think that he will be finding himself at the other end of a buyout. And the other one I would my suggestion is, I don't know how the team feels, and it seems like head coach Adam Motz is a big fan of his, but my suggestion is Joel Ward. He's got, I think, 2 years left on a $3 million a year cap hit deal. I think it's too much money. He doesn't bring enough to the table offensively and during the regular season. While he was very solid during this postseason, I do think you can bring in someone that can do what he did at a cheaper rate. I think if they had gotten more from their star players in the playoffs, then they would have gone further. I don't think that Joel Ward, the only reason Joel Ward got as much credit as he did is because the other guys were doing nothing. I think in the end, if I was McPhee, I would buy out Joel Ward.
That's an interesting take. I think Schultz is a guy that a lot of fans are going to say to buy him out. But since he already has requested a trade, I'm wondering if they're going to save Schultz till the draft and see if they are going to use him as a way to either move up or down in the draft. I mean, why would they want to move down, of course? But I'm saying maybe they will use Schultz in a way at the draft that they'll kind of move around without maybe picking up another team's draft pick at some point. So I think they'll save him for that. Joel Ward, I agree. He is very expensive, and he's a guy who makes a lot of money, and he hasn't really produced on the ice the way that a player making that amount should produce. So I think, like you said, you can get somebody cheaper, and if they do use one, I think it'll be on Joel Ward. But personally, I don't see George McPhee using either of the buyouts this season or even using one next season. I think he's going to stay solid on his picks. He's not a guy who likes to go back on a lot of the stuff that he's done. So I don't know if he's going to use the buyout. I personally think McPhee is going to kind of stay strong and not do it. I could be completely wrong on that, and he could buy out Joel Ward. We're seeing around the NHL a lot of people we're going to jump in segments already. We're seeing some teams already using their buyouts or announcing they're going to use their buyouts. But George McPhee, as always, staying quiet, not really saying much, and he's got some options to make, and it's going to be interesting to see what he does, but I don't see him using it. I really don't.
Well, let's let it be known that the buyouts don't have to happen at 11 o'clock tonight, that tonight being Wednesday. They're allowed to happen between 11 o'clock tonight and July 5th, which is when free agency opens. Now, players have to be placed on waivers before they can technically be bought out. So players technically would have to be bought out, or at least placed on waivers, I believe on the 3rd or on the 4th of July. So you really have a ton of time starting now, technically, until that time to buy out these players. So I agree with you. I do think that McPhee is going to take some time. I don't think, you know, we're going to wake up tomorrow and Schultz is going to be bought up, but you never know. I think he's going to take his time. He may try to move him at the draft, and I think if he can't find anything he likes, if he feels like all of the returns are going to hurt the team more than help it, then I think he'll use one of the buyouts and just sort of let Schultz go his way. I don't think he wants to keep a player around that doesn't want to be here. But McPhee made a good point earlier this week during a press conference that he said that it's kind of hard to trade guys when they're playing in the press box every night. It hurts their trade value because teams don't get to see how they're doing, and they may not think they're very good. And you can see his trade value dropping for every game he didn't play. So, I think it's going to be hard to trade Schultz. And I think in the end, if they can get anything, a draft pick, a 7th or 6th round pick, or some low-level prospect, at this point, you take it just to get rid of his salary cap hit.
Yeah, that's what I really see GM doing. But let's kind of switch gears here a little bit. Let's talk about the draft. The draft is coming up this Sunday. Really, because of this lockout, man, everything is moving really quickly now in the offseason. This Sunday, we're going to have the NHL draft, and the Capitals are in a very familiar position. I believe they have the 23rd pick overall, and I don't know what McPhee's going to do. I've been hearing a little bit of noise that he hasn't been too impressed with a lot of the prospects out there. But personally, what I think he's going to do is what he did a few years ago, and he's going to give up that draft pick and try to get a player who's already in the NHL, kind of like what he did with Troy Brouwer. I think that he's going to trade out of the first round, and we're going to see somebody that we've seen in maybe a Dallas Stars gear before, or like we saw with Brouwer. We're going to see a new guy wearing the red of the Capitals, and it's not going to be a new face. It's going to be somebody that's already established in the NHL.
I could see that happening. I could certainly see McPhee going out and trading that 1st or 2nd round pick, or whatever the picks they may have. You could see him trading a 1st round pick and go out and get a guy that could replace Mike Ribeiro. I think if Ribeiro wants too much money at his age and all the years that he supposedly wants in a new deal, I could see McPhee going out and picking up someone a little younger. But I could see, well, it'll be interesting to see which players get bought out. I can certainly see somebody being bought out that McPhee may take a chance on and offer him a low cap hit to sort of get them through a year or two before Kuznetsov is really ready to take over that sort of second line, whether it's a center or winger role. I mean, Kuznetsov came out recently stating that there's not enough money in Russia to keep him in the KHL. So it certainly sounds like this kid will be coming over to the NHL, not this upcoming season, but the one after that. So to some extent, you really only need a guy to carry you for a year, maybe two. So you could see them, and I don't think it's going to happen, but you could potentially see them go out and pick up a guy like a Danny Briere.
That's very interesting. Danny Briere is a Philadelphia's user.
I'm not saying I want it to happen.
Yeah.
Because that's a little bit of a little punk.
I'm not a big fan.
Go out there and pick somebody up for like a year or two that could be bought out.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing that's going to be working against Ribeiro. I mean, you could see somebody who is bought out, like Danny Briere, who the Flyers have decided to use one of their buyouts on. But we have Ribeiro, like you said. I mean, you bring up a very good point. We got Kuznetsov waiting in the wings. I mean, if he doesn't get injured or anything like that in this next upcoming KHL.
Dude, you just jinxed him.
I don't want to.
What are you doing?
I should I edit that out? I think I should edit that out.
That was Hugo's fault.
But, you know.
No, it's not me. I'm the jinxer.
But he's a guy that, you know, we expect to see in a Caps jersey, not this season, but the season after. So technically, Mike Ribeiro is kind of working against himself by saying, I want a 5-year deal, when there is a guy waiting in the wings. You know, he's a guy that's over in Russia, and they expect him to be over here playing in the NHL, you know, once his KHL contract is over. So I agree that maybe they do look for a guy who is now being bought out and only wants a year or two contract and willing to settle for that. There's a lot of draft picks out there. There's a few making some noise. RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com, they put out a nice little story about that. But I think the big thing the GM's going to do is he's going to trade out of the first round. But unless it's something like last year with Philip Forsberg, personally, a lot of fans are still ticked off that Philip Forsberg was traded to Nashville. But to me, after thinking about it for a little while, I think that's what George McPhee was planning all along. I think he saw Philip Forsberg being this guy that a lot of people were talking about, but a lot of people were passing on for whatever reason. I think people were going more defensive than offensive last year, and they never thought they could get Philip Forsberg. And I bet you his line of thinking was, oh, wow, we got this guy in the first round. We're just going to be able to trade him away for somebody else because somebody's going to want this young talent. We don't really need him. So I think unless there's somebody that a lot of other teams have skipped over that could make a deal for a trade down the line, I think GM's going to be trading out of it or just trying to trade later on down the road with whatever pick he gets.
Well, when we talk at this time next week, we'll certainly know what happens since the draft is coming up on Sunday. I think it's been kind of crazy this whole season, the way things have gone just so fast after the ridiculous and nonsense that was the lockout. So to have – I mean, the Stanley Cup just ended, and now we have the draft all of a sudden. This is a little quick. But, yeah, I mean, McPhee's one of those guys. Here's the thing about George McPhee. Whenever he comes out, whether it's a press conference or news report or you see him up in the press box, he's never telling the truth. He's never completely honest about what he's saying. So when he comes out and he says something like, I have no interest in trading Michael Neuwirth, he's probably interested in trading Michael Neuwirth. At least I know I'm interested in trading Michael Neuwirth, and it's nothing against him. I just think that he's a guy you can move out. I think his cap hit is too high for who's more than likely going to be your backup with the way Braden Holtby played this past shortened season. I think they can bring in a guy he'd be older than Neuwirth, but he'll be able to go a year or two as a backup before Philip Grubauers is certainly ready to come in and see if he can play in the NHL full-time. You can see one of those guys getting moved out, and with everything that could be potentially going on in Calgary, I could certainly see that as a destination for Neuwirth.
It's very interesting to see what will happen, but let's move off the draft here and let's talk about what we've been talking about. This has been like the George McPhee show pretty much about all the things that he could do, but he held a press conference earlier this week and kind of talked about the buyouts and some of the other stuff he might be planning to do. But we were talking before the show and you said he actually had some very interesting tidbits to say this past week. So what's some of the stuff George McPhee's dealing with telling the press about?
Well, he came out in the press conference. He had a couple of interesting things, but I'll just focus on a few of them that I took away from that I thought were more interesting than others, I guess you could say. I found it interesting he didn't really acknowledge or deny that Schultz made a trade request, even though we kind of know that he did. But he said it's difficult, like I said before, it's difficult to trade players who've been sitting in the press box, which I kind of wonder if that was a little bit of a shot at Jeff Schultz. Like a little bit of a like, hey, we could trade you if you didn't suck so much kind of a thing. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. He said he's actually will be meeting with ownership to discuss the possible buyouts. I believe he did that yesterday, even though he's not a very big fan of them because he said it gives the team an out for making bad deals. George, like ones you've made before. He says, I found this actually really interesting, that he won't be talking to Ribeiro or Hendricks until after the draft, which makes me think that he will be looking to replace them at the draft, like you had said before, like I had said before, in a trade. So that'll be Sunday will certainly be an interesting time. Keep checking Twitter to see what people are putting out there to see if the Cats end up making a pretty exciting trade. He doesn't expect to be very active in free agency, but I got to say, it's kind of hard to be active in free agency when you have no freaking cap space. When you have something like $6 million in cap space, actually less than that, it's like 5 point something in cap space, and you still have to re-sign Carl Alsner and Marcus Johansson and possibly Mike Ribeiro and Matt Hendricks, you can't be active because you have no money to spend. It's not Monopoly money, George. You got to work something out here. We talked about Neuwirth before. He's actually said he's a big fan of Michael Latta, whom the Capitals brought in from Nashville in the Forsberg trade. Here's something I know you're not going to like hearing, but I could certainly see them using Latta to replace Matt Hendricks on that fourth line. I think their game is somewhat similar. Latta may have more offensive potential because he's younger than Hendricks, so I guess he technically still has potential. Latta seems like one of those guys that'll go out and lay a hit and get into a fight if he has to. McPhee and the scouts are apparently big fans of his, and they were very excited to get him in that Forsberg trade that also brought in Martin Erat. And then the other thing that I thought was interesting is that Blaine Forsythe, who was the team's video coach last season, will actually be replacing Tim Hunter behind the bench. Apparently, Hunter and head coach Adam Oates did not agree on where this team should be going in the future, and I guess that's sort of where the separation came. And Hunter, it looks like he will officially be making his way out from the Washington Capitals. That's one of the interesting notes that I took away from the George McPhee press conference.
Very interesting stuff going on. It's kind of crazy how much the economy and everything, like us normal folk, have to, you know, watch our money and kind of pinch pennies. And now these GMs are going through the same thing, given they're pinching millions and millions of dollars. But if you bring in a guy that looks good in the AHL and you have a guy like Matt Hendricks who's going to cost more, it's not going to be, oh, well, he's a fan favorite or he's great on the ice. It's going to be how much is he? How much can we save by letting him go and bringing in this other guy? This is the kind of stuff that really makes you see that sports leagues like this are a definite business. But Matt Hendricks, if he goes to the free agency, you know, I don't see him lasting very long in free agency. He's a great talent, and Matt Hendricks will definitely land on his feet and head somewhere else if he doesn't come back to D.C. Would love him to see him in D.C., but if this new guy coming in is at the right price and can do what Matt Hendricks can do, then I see them doing that just because the price is cheaper. This is going to be very interesting the next couple weeks. The Capitals have a lot of decisions to make. We've got buyouts, we got the draft, and we've got the free agency. So GM has kind of said, well, I don't think we'll do a lot because of cap space, which is completely true. He's got a lot of cap space to think about. But at the same time, he was very quiet the last offseason, and I think that was because of an impending lockout. Now that we know the next few years are going to be going on, I see George McPhee being a little bit more active than he's letting on right now.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, well, the thing is, he can't really be too quiet because he has to resign Carl Olsner. We know that. He has to bring back, well, he doesn't have to marry Marcus Johansson, but he's got to do something with Marcus Johansson, whether it's signing him to a deal or trading him. So there's certainly going to be something happening interesting this offseason. Last season, the real big thing was Mike Ribeiro. I think he has to do something. I don't think they're going to be able to go into next season without Mike Ribeiro and not replacing him with somebody else. I do think someone else is going to come in one way or another. So they're going to have to get creative. That's why I think he's going to have to use one of those buyouts, or he's going to have to trade somebody that's going to be making a pretty good amount of money, because they have to free up the cap space to be able to bring these people in one way or another. So when he goes out and he says, we don't expect to be very active in free agency, that may be because he's going to make some trades to try and figure some things out. He could trade Schultz away and then be able to bring in a player from trading a draft pick kind of thing by freeing up that cap space. So while he may say he's quiet in free agency, I don't think the Capitals are going to be as quiet this offseason. There's no lockout coming up. Not for now. You know, in 8 years, we'll probably do it all over again. But for right now, we know things are solid and they're ready to go.
Things are solid. That's a good thing, and that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of fun the next few shows, and even though it's the offseason, we'll still be very active here, at least through mid-July here on What the Puck. And a little last bit of Caps news. We talked about it last week, but it seems like it's official this week. Caps Fan Fest will be happening at Kettler July 13th, and the one Caps player signing autographs that day will be Steven Oleski, one of my favorite guys. Hopefully, we talked to him on Twitter. Hopefully, he will be doing an interview with us at FanFest. We've talked to him before, and hopefully, since he's going to be at FanFest doing stuff, we'll actually be able to talk to him. So we have it via Twitter. He said he would do an interview, but we'll see how that goes that day. But is that pretty much it for Caps news?
Well, we got two other things that went down. The Caps actually announced today that they have re-signed Joel Rutledge to a one-year deal, but I would not expect him to be playing in Washington anytime soon unless one of their fourth liners goes down and they need someone to come in and punch a few people. I expect him to spend most of his time in the AHL with Hershey next season. And then former Caps player and head coach Dale Hunter will be coaching Canada at the Ivan Hlinka tournament, scheduled to take place August 5th through the 10th in the Czech Republic. So congrats to him. That's pretty cool. It looks like that's all the Caps news from the past week.
That's pretty much it, and really there is nothing going on up in Hershey or Reading. We're just going to stay stuck in traffic on 95, and we're going to go around the NHL. Alright, so the Stanley Cup Finals are over. We have a new Stanley Cup champion. We got to talk about Game 6. I got to say, I'm a Boston Bruins fan after the Washington Capitals, and that game looked like it was going to go to overtime once again, but wow. This is why I love watching hockey. In the span of 17 seconds, it went from being a Bruins game to a tied game to the Blackhawks becoming the Stanley Cup champions. What an ending to that game.
Yeah, that was pretty nuts. I mean, you're sort of sitting there watching that game, and you're going, all right, they're going to pull the goalie. you know, maybe they'll have a chance to tie it up. We're probably going to a game. So, oh, okay, they tied it up. All right, good job, guys. And then, holy crap, they're going to win this game. Like, to be able to pull it out with in 17 seconds, they went from a game seven to going to winning the cup was just unbelievable. And it wasn't, I mean, if that's just a regular game, that's really cool. But to have that be your Stanley Cup clinching game was just phenomenal. I think that shows you why hockey is one of the greatest sports on earth, and I think it was just an amazing way to end the season.
It really was. I wish it could have been the Bruins, but man, you got to give it up to the Blackhawks. They played a hell of a season. I mean, coming out at the beginning of the season and winning over 20 games in a row, you know, it looked like they were never going to be beaten this season. And then coming in and playing the best hockey, this really was the two best hockey teams. No one got there for luck or because of a hot goalie or anything like that. These guys, both these teams played some amazing hockey, and yeah, just a great series. Absolutely great series. Love watching it. But coming out of it, we've come to find out that a couple of the Bruins were a little banged up throughout this series.
And a little? I mean, if you go and you look at Patrice Bergeron, holy crap. The dude was – I mean, this shows you that hockey players are some of the toughest guys on earth. Patrice Bergeron, just check this out. He played with a broken rib, torn rib cartilage, a separated shoulder, and then today it was announced – he had a hole in his lung.
Oh, my God.
And I don't think that happened because of a game, but, like, okay, broken rib, yeah, that's pretty painful. Torn rib cartilage, I'm going to assume that's pretty bad. Separated shoulder, it's a little harder to check somebody. A hole in your lung? Like, I can't even fathom how you're going to be able to play a hockey game, and as many games as they played, with a hole in your lung. That was just ridiculous. Bergeron, the dude is made out of broken glass, but damn, he is tough. I give him a lot of credit.
You got to give him a lot of credit. Absolutely just amazing, amazing hockey player. Coming out of this game, though, it also came out today, Jaromír Jágr will not be returning to the Bruins. I can't imagine why after the way he
played. Maybe because he's 500 years old.
But I don't know. He said that he's planning to be in the NHL again. Do you see him going to another team? I mean, the guy, he did look okay in the Bruins series against the Blackhawks, but, I mean, he is pretty old. How? What team would pick him up at this point?
I could see a team like what Dallas did last year picking him up because they're trying to make a splash because he's a name, and you go out and you bring him in, and then at the trade deadline, because your team isn't going to make that big splash that you thought, you go and you trade him to someone who's trying to make a run like the Bruins did this year. I think this is sort of a guy who's kind of trying to hang around in the NHL at the end of his career. Yes, he's still a very talented player, but he's up there in his age. He didn't really do a lot in the playoffs, or at least in the finals for the Bruins especially. So, you know, I could see a team going out, someone like a Calgary or an Edmonton, even Edmonton hypothetically could bring him in. Somebody I think is going to pick him up, but I don't anticipate that he'll be with that team after the trade deadline.
One of these days, you know, those traveling Jágrs in the crowd, they're going to have to take over like an entire section.
I saw that picture this week.
Yeah.
That was actually really funny.
Crazy stuff, man. I mean, how many teams is this guy going to play for? Who's going to keep buying Jágr jerseys?
Don't do it, George.
Not again.
Don't you dare. Don't even think about it.
Not a good idea. I do have to say that I did enjoy his little press conference thing where he said who his favorite player was growing up, which was Jágr.
It's nice to see that he's like a goofball now because he was such a douche apparently when he was playing with the Capitals. I don't know if he was with the players and stuff, but just like to come out and say that he didn't really care when he was playing with them, or he didn't try out every night, that kind of thing just pisses you off as a Capitals fan.
Yeah,
that. But he apparently, you know, he's got a sense of humor and he's a bit of a goofball, so that's okay.
Yeah. So what else is going on around the NHL?
Toronto actually brought in goalie Jonathan Bernier, one of the more sought after goalies during this offseason. He was traded to Toronto from Los Angeles for winger Matt Fratton, goalie Ben Scrivens, and a second round pick in either 2014 or 2015. It just seems like Toronto's just picking up goalies for fun now. Like, they just constantly are bringing these guys in. Just, let's see if this guy will work out next. After Alain Vigneault was fired by Vancouver, he signed with New York. Well, after John Tortorella was fired by New York, he signed with Vancouver to be their new head coach. I thought that was pretty funny. They basically just traded coaches. Like, why are you firing these guys? Just do what the NBA apparently does. You can just trade coaches, apparently. That's a thing that they do.
I can't wait to see him in Vancouver with the press there. I mean,
they are a little crazier than New York.
Yeah, absolutely, they're a lot crazier up in Vancouver in Canada. But man, I can't wait. His press conferences have been legendary. The way he gets worked up, especially with that town, which they got worked up and they set their city on fire. So let's just imagine those fans talking to him. I mean, there's going to be fistfights in the crowd.
I just can't wait to see him yell at the Sedins, and then those two guys look at each other and go, like, what is he saying? Just not having a clue what's going on, because it'll be fun to watch. Apparently, I think I read something along the lines of he's going to sort of try and change his attitude maybe a little bit in Vancouver and see if he can do things a little differently. I do think Vancouver is going to be making some more trades or some more interesting moves in this offseason to sort of revamp their roster, because they've been sort of going in the same cycle the Capitals have been going in lately, where you have a good regular season and then kind of crap out in the playoffs. That sort of thing. In other odd coaching hires, Lindy Ruff will now be the head coach of the Dallas Stars. The reason this is odd is that Lindy Ruff was the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, my dad's team, when they lost to Dallas in the 1999 Stanley Cup Finals on a very controversial goal in triple overtime. A video review showed that Brett Hull's skate was in the goalie crease, which was against the rules at the time. So technically that game should have continued because the goal shouldn't have counted. If anyone ever sees my dad around, just ask him about Brett Hull, and he'll certainly say something that I cannot repeat on air. Reports out of Finland say that Calgary goalie Mika Kiprusoff has announced his retirement to his native national team. I don't know necessarily how true this is, but if it is true, it's, I think it helps the Washington Capitals, because it may be able to find someone to take Michael Neuwirth off their hands and bring in a nice draft pick or prospect, although I don't know how good Calgary's prospects are right now. I think they're actually one of the worst in the NHL. I think that's what I've read. We talked about this earlier, that Philly has announced they will be buying out forward Danny Briere, and then after saying they were going to keep him around, I guess they changed their minds, and they decided to buy out goalie Ilya Brizgalov. Apparently he was not a big favorite in the Flyers locker room, maybe because he's kind of a crazy person. I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but apparently he's a little, as we saw on 24/7, he's a little nuts. Montreal will be reportedly buying out defenseman Tomas Kärjelä. I think it would be fun if he went back to Toronto just because he was there for so long, but you never know what's going to happen with him. But it looks like Kärjelä is going to be a free agent in the near future. Minnesota re-signed goalie Nicklas Backstrom, no, not our guy, to a 3-year deal. I think his cap it actually came out to something just under $4 million. I believe his previous cap it was like $6 or $6.5 million. So that's a really good deal for Minnesota. Columbus signed winger Artem Anisimov to a 3-year deal. It's a good deal for them. He actually came over from the Rangers and was doing pretty well for them. And nice to see Columbus actually try and do something right this time around. San Jose re-signed winger Rafi Torres to a 3-year deal. And it wouldn't surprise me if he spent that entire deal suspended for another stupid-ass hit. Evgeny Nabokov is hoping to get a deal done with the New York Islanders. I thought this was kind of funny since he didn't even want to go to them to begin with. Tampa Bay re-signed defenseman Keith Ollie. And St. Louis has signed center Patrick Berglund to a 1-year deal and defenseman Kevin Shattenkirk to a 4-year deal. Last week, we talked about how Colorado announced that they will not be drafting Seth Jones with their first-round pick. Now it looks like they are looking to draft Halifax Mooseheads. That's certainly a fun name. The Moosehead center, Nathan MacKinnon, with the first overall pick. It'll be interesting to see if that actually is a case or if Patrick Waugh is just screwing with all of us. And then, I don't know if you saw these pictures, but what is going on in Calgary? Because their Scotiabank Saddle Dome had its first, I believe, 8 rows were underwater this past week after massive flooding hit the downtown arena and the entire downtown area. I don't know if you saw the pictures. It was crazy. I've been to Calgary once before, and I drove around the outside of the Saddle Dome because I don't believe it was actually open at the time. I drove around the whole area. It was all underwater after flooding from a nearby river. It was insane. That is all of the interesting NHL news from the past week.
Yeah, that was a very scary scene to see. They said the arena should be ready to go by the time the NHL season starts, but that's not really the important thing right now anyway. It's just the fact that hopefully everyone's okay, and if people were displaced, that they're getting a lot of help up in Canada. And I know that's where Mike Green is from. That's where his family's from. So hopefully
he actually tweeted a picture, I believe, earlier today. I want to say he's from not inside the Saddle Dome, although I did see one inside the Saddle Dome, so that looked pretty weird. It looked like there's a swimming pool in the middle of a hockey rink. But he tweeted a picture, I believe, from outside of Calgary. It looks like I don't know if the waters have maybe it was an old picture, but it was pretty crazy to look at.
Yeah, so hopefully everyone's okay up there. I'm a big fan of Calgary, the town of Calgary. I've never been there, but I do want to go. It's one of my places to go. It's on my bucket list. But, yeah, hopefully everyone's okay there. I do want to go back real quick and just talk about the Flyers and buying out Brizgalov. I mean, this guy, what a contract that he had. I mean, the money he's still going to make. You know, from this
buyout.
Well,
that's the thing about the buyouts. I believe it's if you're under 20 – I don't mean to keep cutting you off, but it's a, if you're under 26, I think you get one-third of your contract, that money. If you're over 26, you get two-thirds. So all these buyouts, the players are not going to be getting the entire – the money from the rest of their deal. They're only going to get some of it, whether it's a third or two-thirds. Still a nice chunk of change. With Brizgalov's deal, it's going to be a big chunk of change. But I think they had to buy him out. I mean, the guy's just he wasn't playing well. The Flyers can't seem to find a goalie to save their life.
No, he definitely wasn't playing well. He didn't live up to that contract. I mean, it was 9 years. I don't even remember how many millions of dollars. But, I mean, he literally could sit on his butt for the next 14 years and just get, you know, a million-dollar check from the Flyers every year. I mean, it's insane the money that he'll be making from there. Personally, I don't think a team may want to get Brizgalov at a cheap rate, but if he's used to living the way that he's been living on that Flyers money, I don't know. I kind of see him going back to the KHL after this. I don't know if a team will pick him up in the NHL just because of his reputation. I'll be interested to see what happens with him in the next few weeks.
I mean, the dude is certainly – he's a little crazy. If he's willing to take – a smaller deal, I could see someone go out and take a chance on him because he's played well before. It's not like all of a sudden he turned into – or it is like all of a sudden he turned into a terrible goalie because he played well when he was in Phoenix and he played pretty well when he was in Anaheim even though he was behind, I believe it was J.S. Jaguar. But I think someone could take a chance on him. I think part of the problem is that he's a crazy person. And I think part of the problem is he sort of had more of that spotlight focus on him in Philly. I think if he goes to a team where he doesn't have as much of the spotlight and he stops being so freaking nuts, that I think he could actually do well. But I don't know how many teams – I mean, maybe he could go to Calgary and sort of fill in there. But it'll be interesting to see what happens to him. I definitely agree with you that we could see him playing in the KHL next season.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, and we'll find out pretty soon. Next few weeks, they're going to be a lot of fun to be around for. So that's pretty much it for the show, I believe, this week. Of course, if you want to talk about hockey and what's going to be going on the next few weeks, you can tweet to me at Brando Cash, and you can tweet the show at WTP_podcast. The show's also on Facebook, facebook.com/WTP podcast, two P's for the Facebook. But of course, Coach Dan, he's on Twitter as well. Coach Dan, where can people follow you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me at capitalsoutsider.com. This is a Caps fan run website dedicated to the Washington Capitals. That's capitalsoutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like the Brando Cash Network right there. You get all the news about What the Puck, The Call, and any other shows we got coming out and cooking this year. So make sure you like us over there. Thank you so much for listening to What the Puck. I'm not sure how you're listening to us right now, but there's so many ways. You got to tell a friend and let them know. Of course, you can download and subscribe to the show on iTunes. That way, whenever a new show comes out, it comes to your computer, downloaded automatically whenever we put it up there. And you also have the podcast app on an iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch. And the show actually gets downloaded straight to your device, which is actually pretty cool. Now, if you're an Android user, of course, you can listen to Stitcher. Just download the Stitcher app and search What the Puck, and you can set that as one of your favorite stations. And every time we put something out, again, it'll get automatically downloaded straight to your Stitcher. And I believe they stream there as well, so that's pretty cool. So you're not eating up any memory on your device. Now, if you're at your desk and you're bored and you want to listen to some hockey, of course, go to whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com, and you can listen to us via a desktop. And we give you this show completely and totally for free every single week throughout the season. And all we ask in return is for you to tell a friend, let people know, text them, call them on the phone, let them know what is going on for What the Puck, but also be social. Let them know on Facebook and on Twitter, on Tumblr, on Pinterest, on Vine, on Tout, on stuff that's not invented yet and will come out, and all the young kids will know about it before me. Let them all know that you're a hockey fan and that you like What the Puck and that they should be listening as well. So until next week, it's going to be pretty fun in between these two shows because we're going to have the deadline, or not the deadline, the buyout. starting up tonight, and then we have the draft on Sunday. So plenty of stuff to talk about next week's show. So make sure you tune in next week to What the Puck. And until then, we'll talk to you next week.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
Alrighty. Here we go. You ready to go?
Yeah, let's do it. He's got to take that swig of beer before showtime.
A nice Red's Apple Ale. If you would like to sponsor What the Puck, Red's Apple Ale.
Red's Apple... Wait, no, it would be What the Puck, sponsored by Red's Apple Ale.
I'd be fine with it. But there's plenty of stuff now still going on in the NHL, so let's go around the NHL. I want to do that again. That sucked ass. Well, even though it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. All right. Well, the Stanley Cup.
Well, the news going on around the that was a terrible segment. Let me try that part. Our terrible segue into the thing because I just repeated what you said. Let's try that. We were doing so well up until that point. Let's see. Columbus re-signed winger Artem Anisimov, formerly of the New York Rangers, to a 3-year deal with a cap hit of 3. Something. Three and change cap hit. That was a terrible sentence. I'm going to do that one again. I totally was gone and then just completely crapped out.
Now, thank you so much for listening to What the Puck. Don't know how that you...